When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, last night, Kevin did his first in-play sports tonight. So, Kevin, off the bat, just want to ask you how that went. I'm very excited for you.
No, I appreciate that. It was really, really fun. Again, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. East Coast time here on SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, myself and Donnie Rideside. And it was good. I'll tell you, I was watching Virginia-Miami and that over bet that I had there. I wish that wasn't happening. That was one way to get things going. Very, very stressful. They had scored 71 points in the first half. They did not even crack 45 in the second half and lost that total. Other than that, though, it was a really fun time, and we'll be doing it again tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then in terms of just the news cycle yesterday, we finally got some good NFL news. J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals. He broke the news in an awesome tweet, I think, reading, "Source me," and he was in an Arizona Cardinals shirt, looking like he was just about to, I don't know if he was squatting, if he was about to take a squat, something like that. The Cardinals were not really a team we were talking about for where we saw J.J. Watt going, but Kevin, you were saying that you think he might be looking to get that bag, and it looks like he signed a two-year, $31 million deal that includes $23 million guaranteed.
Yeah, this is when we go bag secured. I mean, the bag has been secured by J.J. Watt, so good for him.
All the emojis.
Yeah, the cash signs, the money face with the tongue. I know that's a popular Aaron Dolan emoji there. So,
well, that's my favorite emoji.
Yeah. I've seen it on the Twitterverse. You made your Twitter return yesterday, which I'm sure the people were very, very excited about. But J.J. Watt.
Yeah, you start getting those weird DMs, but yeah. Seeing those back in the mix.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a welcome sight. But overall, look, for J.J. Watt, you mentioned it. A lot of people very surprised by this move. As soon as he got free, everybody's like, oh, he's going to play with his brother. He's going to play with his brother. And then that wasn't a thing. Oh, he's going to return home to Wisconsin and play for the Packers. No. Minus money to go to the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's almost when we started to kind of see a turn, because you realize that J.J. Watt was not going to be taking some veteran minimum to chase rings. And I got to say, Aaron, he shouldn't have. I don't know what happened here. And again,
but
I guess
there was
this
a point where we thought that.
You know,
he was just going for the fun side of things, and he was washed up because maybe his, you know, defensive player of the years were back in 2012, I believe, was one of them. So it's been a while.
Yeah. It has been, right? The last one that he won, I believe, was 2015. But here's the thing, Aaron. This is the Houston Texans effect, I'm pretty sure. J.J. Watt is still good. He was the 7th graded edge defender by Pro Football Focus last year. In the entire NFL, he was 7th. Like, that's a legitimately good player. J.J. Watt is only 31 years old. This guy can contribute now. He is worth... Is he worth this much? Okay, maybe that'll remain to be seen. But I don't know... And again, it's just you kind of get caught up in it, and everybody from Houston maybe had this negative connotation, and we're like, oh, they all stink, and they all stink, and he's washed up. Like, J.J. Watt can still play, and if this guy wants to ring chase, yeah, he can do that at 36. We're 5 years away from that, Aaron.
Yes, and welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Right now, talking about J.J. Watt going to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the biggest question I have for you, Kevin, in terms of this whole situation, is the Texans just released him. They didn't get anything for J.J. Watt. So after this broke, especially with the amount that he is now going to be paid, the $23 million that he's guaranteed, do you think that the Texans messed this up, even though they were trying to do the right thing by releasing him after everything that went on in the organization?
I don't really understand the MO here. I know there was a lot of conversation around them releasing JJ, wanting to do right by JJ, but then they won't entertain the offers for Deshaun Watson. And it's a very odd thing because on one hand, you're like, oh, no, it makes some sense there. Like, J.J. Watt, legend, you want to do right for him. But then it's also like, isn't this like a business, right? Isn't that what we're always told?
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you get the maximum return. And then Deshaun Watson, and nobody's asking you to lose Deshaun Watson for free, mind you, right? Like, no, you're going to get back a gargantuan return for trading Deshaun Watson, and you won't even pick up the phone when you talk about doing right by guys. I understand wanting to keep Deshaun Watson there, and I'm not saying that they're wrong for wanting to keep Deshaun Watson. It is a little puzzling to see J.J. Watt get released and then get paid like one of the premier defensive players in the NFL, and I think that's probably what makes them look so bad in this now, Aaron, is they didn't just release an aging veteran who's landed somewhere for a insignificant amount of money. They just released a guy that's going to be priced as a top 10 defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah, $31 million, two-year deal. That's
bag secured.
I mean, it's a statement that people believe that, yes, bag secured, that he is going to, help a defensive line, help a team out, compared to maybe in the Texans, just like you said, weren't giving him maybe the tools around him even, or just the whole Texas organization, how disastrous that's been to make him be successful as he was in the past.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going to be interested, though, and we'll talk about this a little bit in hour number two. The NFC West is loaded.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a very much loaded division, but we'll see how everything shakes out there. And poor Deshaun Watson, I feel like every time I think about him, I think of the meme of him looking out the window and nobody looking back up at him. I just feel bad for him. But stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk some NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've seen Blake Griffin get traded. We've seen Harden get traded. So...
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month. Level for the next 10 years.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to get into some NBA headlines. So yesterday, Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce was fired following a disappointing start to a season with heightened expectations. The Hawks are now 14-20, 11th in the Eastern Conference standings. Hawks are hopeful that assistant Nate McMillan will choose to become the interim head coach. Kevin, what were your thoughts on this initial firing?
Yeah, it was surprising to see this move. I feel like the Atlanta Hawks, they had so much turnover during the offseason that there was a lot of people that were very excited, but it also can take a little bit for these pieces to mesh. Clint Capela was traded for last year, but he didn't play. Danilo Gallinari knew. Bogdanovich knew as well. And then they're also looking for the growth of young players, Trae Young included, but also, of course, John Collins, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter. And they've been battling some injuries there. It shows that the expectations they had for themselves were a lot higher. And I think part of it, Aaron, could very well be them looking at the state of the Eastern Conference and saying to themselves, you know what? This is salvageable. Let's not waste this season. Because the Atlanta Hawks right now, despite sitting in 11th, I mean, they're three games back of sitting in fifth. And I think one of the things for Atlanta is they actually find themselves right now inside the top 10 when it comes to point differential in the Eastern Conference. So they probably feel like they should be much higher up the board here. They've not been able to pull the results together. They right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook are plus 116 to make the playoffs. And you mentioned it, Aaron. In comes Nate McMillan, and he made the playoffs with consistency when he was the head coach for the Indiana Pacers. So this could be the boost that this team was looking for.
Yeah, that can definitely be the boost. I don't know if it was, you know, a firing that was too quick, given we're not even at the All-Star break yet. It's been a weird year and all of those sorts of things. Nonetheless, I said to you before the show, I'm like, when are they going to fire the Houston Rockets coach since they've been playing so bad? They lost 12 straight. But that's a story or a conversation for a different time. Let's get into some NBA games that happened last night. So favorites went 5-2 straight up and 4-3 against the spread, with upsets by the Pelicans over the Jazz and the Cavs over the Rockets, plus the Magic covered in a straight-up loss to the Mavs. Overs went 6-1. Some top headlines of these seven NBA games that happened last night. Carmelo Anthony erupted for 29 points as the Trailblazers beat the Hornets. Harden helped the Nets to their first win in San Antonio since 2002. Zion and the Pelicans hold off the Jazz. This is the first game I want to talk about. Kevin, you said yesterday that the Jazz are only human and that they could start looking like that. And you were right as the Pelicans hold off the Jazz 129-124. The Jazz have now lost against the Heat and Pelicans in the last three games. So obviously we've been talking all season how great they've been. They've been winning. They've been covering. Meanwhile, the Pelicans have lost 7 of their last 11. They aren't the best team in the league, but Zion Williamson, he had a standout night, 26 points, as well as Brandon Ingram having 26 as well. What were your thoughts on this game?
So look, this is a team that went out there and completely set this league on fire, right? They were 4-4. You pick your head up, and they're sat there 24-5. It was just an unbelievable run for this basketball team. But now, over the last six games, they're 3-3. Again, they weren't going to win games at a 90% clip. It's completely unsustainable. It's completely unrealistic. Everything that they have done before this little bump in the road is not erased. It doesn't mean that it was fraudulent. And it doesn't mean that it's not important, because they still do have the number one overall spot in the Western Conference. But, you know, getting to the window, Aaron, and automatically, blindly just betting the Jazz, well, that run very well could have come to a close. And now with this stretch here, again, a loss to the Clippers. It's a good team. It's not a terrible loss, but a loss nonetheless. They lose to the Miami Heat, another good team on the road. And the Pelicans are now 6-1 straight up as a home underdog. They've been incredible, incredible, Aaron, in that spot. A great job from Zion. And the next game to finish out the pre or first half of the season for the Jazz, Aaron, at Philadelphia for the Utah Jazz, they could have a second loss on their plate right there. All of a sudden, their stranglehold on the number one overall seed could look a little different.
Yeah, that could definitely look a little different. And looking at the box score for this game, the one thing I want to mention is for the three-pointers, the Pelicans shot 63.6%, but you're seeing that they only really made 7 of 11, opposed to the Jazz, who shot 43 three-pointers and only made 17. So really, I don't know if it could have been a night they were just off, and that's why they couldn't beat the Pelicans. I still have a lot of faith in the Jazz. Do I think they're going to win the NBA title? No, I don't. But nonetheless, I feel like it was bound to happen where they started to slide a little bit. And like you said, you made the great point. It's not a time to just blindly bet on the Jazz every single game just because they've been on this run and they've been great against the spread as well.
Yeah, and I just want to say, though, like, ultimately, 17 of 43 from three, it's not that bad. They scored 124 points in the game. They gave up 129 points to a team that only made seven threes. I mean, that is abnormal in today's NBA. For a Utah squad that has the third best defensive rating in the entire league, that is pretty interesting. And again, when you look at it, they now have given up in the last three games 124 to Miami, 109 to Orlando. For Orlando, that might feel like a lot. Okay, fine. And now 129 to the Pels. That Utah Jazz offense, again, the ceiling that they have with the threes that they take is great. But if they're not a top five defense, then they cannot win the NBA championship. No, they must be a top five defense if they're going to win an NBA championship. I don't believe for them their best route of plan of attack is winning games as if they were the Brooklyn Nets, 125 to 117.
Yeah, that's a great point. Obviously, with the defense, that's going to be one of the biggest deciding factors for a ton of these top contenders as we head into the playoffs. Let's get into another game that happened last night. Our 76ers had a 72-55 lead at the half, and they kept that lead, beating the Pacers 130-114. 76ers cover. They were 2.5-point favorites when they closed, but that line came down all day yesterday morning. We were talking at it being 5.5 favored there. The over 222.5 hits. Kevin, this win was really belonged to the bench, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. Shake Milton, 26 points. Korkmaz, 19. The reserves all around got their highlights last night.
No, they absolutely did. But Embiid and Simmons had the highest plus minuses of anybody on Philly. Joel Embiid, 24 points, 13 boards, chipped in 5 assists as well, and was a plus 22. And there he is. There he is, Ben Simmons, a game-high plus 25. And at the end of the day, Embiid is the most important player on this team. He's the best player on this team, no doubt about it. They need Tobias Harris to be available, which he was not for this game, and they need him to be pretty good if they want to win an NBA championship. But Ben Simmons has to keep this level of play up. Ben Simmons, for whatever happened to him when he went to Salt Lake, has what feels like turned a corner. Aaron, I don't remember the last time you came on here frustrated by Ben Simmons, asking yourself, oh, I can't believe what Ben Simmons has done to us again. He is so important to the Sixers and them meeting their ceiling, and I will talk about this until it changes, and I don't know what it's going to take for it to change. The 76ers still 6-1 to win the East. They should be at the worst 4-1, maybe closer to 3-1, right there with the Nets and the Bucks. The Sixers have a very real case as the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yes, and since you brought up Ben Simmons, I now need to ask you, for the Defensive Player of the Year market on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Rudy Gobert is minus 210. Ben Simmons is behind a plus 350. Do you think he has a shot if he keeps up this play, especially after the All-Star break?
I do, because you've got a Sixers squad with a top five defensive rating in the league. A lot of people are realizing that Ben Simmons has a lot to do with that. Maybe the best perimeter defender in the NBA. Yes, he has a real chance to win the award.
Yes, Sixers have won 5 of their last 7 games. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We're going to continue to recap some of the NBA games that happened last night, starting off now with the Mavs versus the Magic. The Mavs extend their win streak to 2 games with a 130-124 win over the Magic, but Orlando covers as 7-point underdogs. The over 221 easily hits, which is surprising considering that out of Orlando's top 5 scorers, none of them are shooting over 50%. Mavs have won 4 of the last 5. Doncic scores 33 points, 10 boards, 9 assists. We're starting to really like this Mavs team, Kev.
Yeah, Dallas is impressing. They're up to 17-16 now, so above 500 for the first time. You also, you did mention that spread, though. You very much could have argued Terrence Ross for Hero of the Night. I'll let you guys know right now he didn't make the cut, but he did hit a huge three with 16 seconds left that applied the pressure to Dallas and ultimately led to Orlando covering that number. The number did fluctuate a little bit, but I definitely think most people, if you backed Orlando, found themselves with a cover. The game also flew over the number, which was a little bit surprising to me for Orlando to get all the way up there to 124. If you would have told me Dallas was going to score 130, I would have quadrupled units on the Dallas Mavericks, but Orlando was able to get up and get into the mix. Ultimately, though, this is Luka Doncic, 33 points, 10 boards, 9 assists. You know, Jalen Brunson off the bench with 24, and 4 out of the 5 starters coming in for double digits. For the Dallas Mavericks to get themselves up now above 500 is massive, but Aaron, they do still sit there in the 9 spot. This is going to be, and we're approaching the end of the first half of the season. This race to avoid the play-in game in the Western Conference is going to be incredible. If the season ended today, and it doesn't, you would have the Grizzlies and the Mavs playing, where the winner would play the loser of Denver and Golden State for that final playoff spot. Could you imagine Luka versus Steph or Luka versus Jokic for that final playoff spot? It would be great theater.
Yeah, and something just to note in terms of the MVP market, Luka's still up there. He's 11-1, and since you brought up Nikola Jokic, he's plus 600 there. But it's more a matter of, especially with the MVP board, obviously LeBron James is the heavy favorite, plus 170. But just teams starting to turn these games into wins and more wins kind of helps the case of these players, especially with someone, you know, scoring basically on average above 30 for a majority of the games, like Luka Doncic. But nonetheless, it's surprising when you see Orlando score 124 points there. That was surprising last night. Let's get into the Nets Spurs. So Harden helps the Nets to their first win in San Antonio since 2002, snapping a 17-game losing streak to the Spurs. He records a triple-double, not to mention Kyrie Irving scores 27 points. Nets win 124-113 in overtime. They cover as 4-point favorites and the over hits. Kevin, Nets outscored the Spurs 15-5 in OT.
Yeah, it was really impressive there from Brooklyn in that overtime. You could just tell the difference, the ability to go to either Kyrie or Harden to slam that door, and that's exactly what they did. One of the rare instances, it's always tough when something like this happens, but Spurs bettors out there praying that DeJounte Murray buzzer beater did not go in, that sent this game to overtime and messed up their potential covers. It was a great run from the Spurs to force overtime. They are, you know, a little up and down since returning from their COVID pause, a loss, a close loss to the Thunder, a close win to the Pelicans, and then an overtime loss to Brooklyn. This is a Spurs team, though, that right now is in the sixth spot in the West, and I know they have their eyes set on the playoffs, so it'll be interesting to follow. But for Brooklyn to bounce back after that loss to the Dallas Mavericks, I think is important. Really, at this point, Aaron, for Brooklyn, I just need Durant to get back out there on the court so we can start evaluating what this big three does. If they're really going to rain fire down on everybody, cool, but I need to see it. Because right now, all I'm seeing is Harden go out there and play like he's back in Houston, and that's not what it's going to look like when Durant's out there. It's just not.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, the chemistry between those three, because they haven't played that many games together. And when all three of them were on the floor and healthy, there was all those issues where they were losing. And we're like, how could they have these three star players? And we kind of just always chalked it up to, oh, they're just trying to learn how to, you know, have that chemistry together on the floor when playing. But really, there's been this huge pause. There's some nights where James Harden takes the reins, scores the most, and then Kyrie sits on the bench. Then Kyrie comes in. He still can assist with 27 points like he did last night. But you make a great point that overall we need to see KD back on the floor.
Yeah, and I know it's obviously not going to be until post-All-Star break, the Brooklyn Nets.
Even though
he's
picking the teams.
Yeah, even though he of course, does get that distinction. They're going to come out of the All-Star break home against Boston, home versus Detroit, home versus the Knicks. Three home games in the Barclays Center. A great opportunity for Durant to come back and get comfortable. They have a very, very light schedule in March, as I see it here. The only above 500 teams that they are going to play, Portland, Utah. That's it. Let's throw Boston in there. Maybe they'll be above 500 when that game is played. Three out of the entire month. So if Durant's out there, they can look very, very dangerous, but we'll see if he's actually out there.
What do you think that's going to be a case then, that they're going to sit Durant most of March? They're going to save him until the last minute where they truly need him? They're going to keep him for the playoffs, try to make him as healthy as possible?
To be honest with you, Aaron, look, they're not going to need this guy at any point in the regular season. They're going to be a top three seed, and that's what it is. So that's not the worry. But they need him to build up that chemistry. I do not believe that is an overrated thing. You have three guys that are stars and that command a high usage. And you need to learn how to work off one another to maximize your potential. Remember when they would you losing sometimes when all three of them were out there, Aaron, the close ones, and we were like, man, like they don't seem to know what to do in the crunch. It's just like hard in isolations or, you know, Durant's stuck in the corner. Kyrie's going to grab a rebound and go there. It's a little all over the place there. They need to play together. They need to get those reps under their belt, and we'll see ultimately if they're able to do that. The last Nets game, by the way, and you know, to be, we'll talk about it when that game is, but the last Nets game is going to be Harden returning to Houston before the All-Star break. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be an awesome one. It'll probably have so many points. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, you can't just simulate a crunch time in a practice. So that's something that needs to be done on the floor, whether they put him out there for just, you know, that fourth quarter to try to, if they are in a crunch time period, just to see what happens there. But all around, definitely need to see some chemistry build for them. Let's get into another game, a much less exciting game, I would say. Two of the most struggling teams in the NBA faced off. You have the Cavs and Rockets. Cavs and Houston, their 12th straight loss, 101-90. Cavs cover under, of course, hitting there. Houston only scored 84 points against the Grizzlies as well on Sunday, so no surprise. This was a low-scoring game on a back-to-back for them. Meanwhile, the Cavs, they have won four straight. They're coming off a 10-game losing skid before that. So all around, just some of those, you know, rather struggling teams. I don't really know what's the biggest point of this game besides just the Houston Rockets. I mean, 12 straight losses and just terrible play by them.
I'm now really annoyed that John Wall was sent to Houston. I was initially excited about it. I thought he could be good.
He played well last night, though.
Yeah, no, he did. And like now he got robbed of him and Bradley Beal actually being able to go out there and play together in Washington. And instead it's Westbrook. And it's upsetting me very, very much. He had 32 points here. Victor Oladipo had 20 points. They combined for 52 of the 90 points scored by the Rockets. They scored 90 points against the Cavs. 90 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers of Cleveland. Are you kidding me?
It's tough.
Are you kidding me?
They were only like the 70s when they play.
Yeah, no, they played Memphis the other day.
Make a prediction of that.
But the other day they just scored like 80 something against Memphis. I mean, if they play the Knicks, they might score 75 points. Like, I mean, this is a college basketball.
It's brutal to watch.
Like the Houston Cougars.
Well, the college basketball teams were scoring more.
Yes, the Houston Cougars are scoring more than the Houston Rockets in college basketball. It's ridiculous. Well, look, give the Cavs credit here. Four wins in a row after losing 10 straight games.
Yeah, that's big for them.
That's impressive. Colin Sexton is awesome. I mean, this kid is really, really fun. 42 minutes in a regulation game. He really wants to win. 39 points, 12 of 20 from the floor. And I think a guy that, if you are going to try and play in the awards markets, Aaron, the most improved, Colin Sexton's 36-1. I know everybody feels like Jeremiah Grant has this thing signed, sealed, and delivered, and he probably does. But the Pistons are so bad that, I mean, this probably is open to discussion for no matter who the player is. At 36-1, I don't think Sexton's a bad look.
Yeah, no, he's been honestly sensational, especially for that team. But let's move on to another game, kind of get rid of that bad game on the board last night. Hornets Trailblazers. Carmelo Anthony erupted for 29 points as the Trailblazers beat the Hornets. They covered the spread and hit the over with a 123-111 win. Anthony had six of Portland's franchise record 24 three-pointers last night, snapping a four-game losing streak. Portland shot 24 for 46 from the arc, shooting 52.2%. Honestly, lights out shooting last night for the Portland Trailblazers.
It is wild how, and let's be honest here, Melo did look washed when he was in Houston and OKC. I mean, he is a serviceable player for this Portland team and occasionally does hit the big shot. 29, very, very impressive there from Melo. But I would also be remiss if I didn't bring up LaMelo. As he goes for 30 points, 8 assists, and 6 boards. He was minus 18, which stunk, but LaMelo Ball, a star, no doubt.
Yeah, stay up this year on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to talk some more NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the early line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're going to talk about the NBA board. We have 7 games tonight, starting off with the Grizzlies and Wizards. Now, Memphis dominated the Rockets. We talked about that earlier in the show. And the Wizards are coming off a 1-point loss to the Celtics. Now, we're going to get into the line in a few minutes. But one thing I want to mention is Beal is on the brink of 1,000 points. He could be the fourth player in the last 25 years to do so that quickly, joining Harden, Iverson, and Kobe. He has 997 total points this season. Beal is ranked first in the league in points, field goals attempted, and usage rate. Beal has scored 35-plus points in 5 of his last 11 games, so it looks like he'll hit that mark tonight. But nonetheless, Kevin, just wanted to say that's a huge mark for Bradley Beal.
No, look, Bradley Beal has been incredible. Now, I think the Wizards tonight, going up against the Grizzlies, find themselves in a very, very interesting situation where they are underdogs to Memphis. This is very surprising because at home, that's very important. I feel as if Washington's recent play would have been enough to get them in a position to where they would have been laying points in this spot. That's what I would have expected. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has continually climbed up the board when it comes to odds to make the playoffs. They have covered 8 of their last 9 basketball games. They are 7 of those 9 basketball games. In comes a Memphis squad off of a dominant victory over the Houston Rockets. But, I mean, get in line. Who hasn't?
It's the Rockets.
Like, I'm very surprised that Memphis is laying this number. And I think when we see numbers like this, Aaron, you really have to make a decision. Are you either getting great value or is it a trap? I'm leaning towards great value here. I cannot make any sense of Memphis laying a point in Washington. I can't.
Yeah, and that just jumped up. It was just minus half a point about a couple minutes ago. But maybe this is a game then that you either go for the total, which is at 236.5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. We know both of these teams can score. Yeah. Or maybe find more value on the money line. Throw them in a same-game parlay you could do. Throw them in a parlay with a bunch of other teams. But it seems like this one, obviously, they're not laying a ton of point, the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. If it was like -3, then I would say maybe they know something we don't. But I am very, very surprised that the Wizards are not favored and laying more points, given, I mean, they're winners of 7 of the last 8. Are the odds makers just thinking this was a run that was unexpected and they're going to kind of, you know, spiral down the board now? It just seems a little off to me as well.
A game like this, Aaron, and I'm glad you agree here, so I don't feel like I'm like left on an island here. And then I would like to think then that a lot of our watchers and listeners at home, maybe they feel the same way. Personally, when I see a game like this, I will take my time. This is the early line and betting early. There's a lot of times I've heard people talk about bets they've lost that Aaron and I were able to get a better number on here. You know, Bulls Sixers, you get the Bulls plus 9, they close it plus 5. Like, betting early lines are very valuable. But a game like this, sometimes you want to give yourself as much time as possible to try and think this thing out. Because let me just say, and sometimes there's this misconception with trap lines here. Sports books do not just go, hey, what do you think? We'll set a line that makes no sense, and then that will be the correct line. Like, that doesn't make any sense. No, this is minus
one. If you think you're going to beat Vegas and you're that one smart person, it's not. That's not a thing.
Memphis is minus one for a reason. So try and figure it out. What is it that you're missing here? Are there some underlying numbers that could push you to the Grizzlies? The Grizzlies this year have been solid on the road, 8-5 straight up on the road. They're actually 5-4 straight up as road dogs, for whatever that's worth. So they've just been very solid on the road this season. Washington is below 500 at home. They're 6-9 this year at home. Could that be why? Or could the sports book be shading or fading Washington at home in the way that we've talked about fading the Mavericks at home? It's possible. And also, you never know. Maybe they know something about an injury status that we don't know just yet. This game is not going to tip off for almost another 12 hours. Give yourself time with this one. But Aaron and I do see it similarly. Right now, the value seems to be on Washington, but maybe there's something more to it.
Yeah, and when you see such a low number, I feel like, on the spread, then you kind of have those alarms going off that this could be a trap game, as opposed to when you see, you know, huge spreads. So maybe that line could even flip to Wizards minus money. I wouldn't be surprised if it did closer to the game. Again, on the early line, we get the earliest, some of the earliest lines. I know yesterday when Kevin and I were talking about some of the lines, the one that really stuck out to us was, weren't the Rockets favored minus 5.5 against the Cavs at some point? We were like, what is going on with this line? Yeah. And we're like, is this a trap game? Is it a trap game? And then, obviously, I mean, they lost by 11 there. But nonetheless, there's just sometimes those games, especially when it's a close number, just wait for more information or just wait till closer to the game. Don't take that early line at minus one. You're not going to get the most value out of that anyway. So, nonetheless, Memphis 8-5 against the spread as an away team. Let's get into another game on the board. Hawks Heat. So these two are meeting for the second time in a row after the Heat won 109-99 on Sunday without Jimmy Butler. The Heat have won six straight. They've covered in six straight. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, we're seeing the Miami Heat minus 3.5, the total at 220.5. Kevin, with the Atlanta Hawks having their head coach fired yesterday, do you think that's going to impact this game and the Lions, or do you think maybe taking the dog here is a good idea?
So we got a red-hot Heat squad here, little pun not intended, but they are absolutely hot right now. Winners of six in a row, covering in all of those victories. In comes an ATL squad that has lost three of their last four games. They are struggling, to say the least, and that's obviously why they just fired their head coach in Lloyd Pierce. I know some people like to believe in buying into the new head coach theory that, oh, they're going to play a little bit more motivated. Atlanta will be somewhat embarrassed that they allowed a guy like Lloyd Pierce to be fired, and maybe Nate McMillan gets them up. All in all, that can make me a little weary of a spread in this game. We don't know Jimmy Butler's status just yet. Questionable. Did miss the last one. It's hard not to lean towards the Miami Heat. I am fascinated, though, by the total. The Hawks had gone over in eight of their nine games going into that game against Miami. Scored 99 points, a dead under. The live over hit, thank you, Kendrick Nunn. But a dead under, and Atlanta doesn't get to 100. I wonder if Nate McMillan says, we need to get out there and play fast, looking to fix what happened in the prior game. Maybe, Aaron, it's a little bit safer to play the total in this game, but we definitely want to have eyes on it, because if Nate McMillan approaches things any differently for the Hawks, it can be massive for props, totals, and sides.
Yes, and I think in this game, from my personal experience, this is a game where I would take the Hawks plus 3.5 right now, only because I do believe that Miami Heat going six, winning six straight, covering the spread in six, eventually they're going to lose a game and they're not going to cover the spread. And with the Hawks, I think Trae Young's going to come out a little, I think he's going to be a little pissed off, I'm sure, given that everything that's happening. Their head coach is fired. They want to do well. They're going to have that new interim head coach come in. I like the Hawks actually in this one, only because I think eventually at some point the Miami Heat are going to swing. And if Jimmy Butler is ruled out and then the Atlanta Hawks switch to the favorite, then you won't get as much value, obviously, as if they were the dog right now, plus 3.5. But that's just my take on that there. We'll get into some more games on the board right now. Clippers-Celtics. Celtics have won 2 in a row. They're on a winning streak for the first time in more than a month with a 1-point win over the Washington Wizards at home earlier this week. They face the Clippers now at home. I feel like the Boston Celtics are good at home. We can kind of argue that they're 10-5 against the spread when playing at home. The Los Angeles Clippers are coming off a loss to the Bucks. Clippers went 8-7 during February after posting a 16-5 mark through December and January. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Boston Celtics are favored at home. Are the dogs at home 3.5 with a total at 222.5.
This is a great game here. Okay. I always like when the Celtics and the Clippers play each other. Over the past couple of seasons, they've played some really fun ones. They played a fun one at the Staples Center not all too long ago, where, as underdogs, the Boston Celtics had a great come-from-behind win. They were down by 16 at one point against the Clippers, came back, won that game against Kawhi, no Paul George. Now, Boston didn't have Jalen Brown, and that's noteworthy because there's a good chance that Jalen Brown isn't available tonight. So there's definitely something to the idea that people are like, oh, how could Boston win? Jalen Brown's not there. But they've literally beaten this team without Jalen Brown. But Paul George wasn't there. So that's kind of the difference here that you're dealing with when it comes to that game. I will tell you, just from a props perspective, Tatum went off. He had 34 points. And Kemba Walker also was pretty solid, scoring 24. So those are, again, some things that you can look at from the props perspective of how Boston approached that game against the Clips without Jalen Brown, assuming he is absent. Here's the reality for the Clippers, though. Over their last 8 games, they are 4-4 straight up and against the spread, alternating wins and losses every single time. Win, cover, loss, no cover. Win, cover, loss, no cover, so on and so forth. So we are coming off of a Clippers loss and a no cover. The way they are playing right now, I've had some success with this with a team like the Tennessee Volunteers in college basketball. I've seen it work. They're alternating these results. The Clippers are not playing great basketball. They are still a good enough team, though, Aaron, to avoid losing 2 in a row. Very scary to fade Boston at home. They are very good at home. 10-5 against the spread at TD Garden. But I think this is a good spot to back the Clips with Paul George here in Boston.
Interesting, yeah. The Boston Celtics, they've been great at home, but not so much on the road. But, of course, if Jalen Brown is out for this game, then you kind of have to go with the Clippers here. Another game on the board, Knicks-Spurs. The Knicks have won 3 straight games. They moved above 500. Plus for bettors, 13 straight first half covers for New York. Lots of positive things that you could say about the Knicks as they take on the Spurs. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Spurs are favored, though, at home, -3. The total at 216.5. Kevin, do you think the Knicks can continue this good play that they've been having recently?
So look, here's the reality for the Knicks. You mentioned that first half cover. What happens with trends like this, when they start to become popular, they usually die a very painful death. Not only do they then all of a sudden lose, but all of a sudden they lose all the time. Now, this is a trend that's been going on for a while. They are actually, I believe, over their last 22 first halves, 20-2 against the spread. And you said it, I think, what did you say, 13 in a row? I mean, it's unbelievable what they have done. The 2 losses did come on the road. So could the Spurs get them in this spot? Maybe. The reality is right now, and this is not a knock on the Knicks, you have to play who is in front of you. But they are in a very favorable part of the schedule. They have won over their last 9 games, 7 of them. They played Washington before they got hot. They played the Rockets at their low point. Atlanta at a very bad spot. Minnesota, horrendous. Sacramento at their worst point. They played Indiana off the second leg of a back-to-back. Detroit, terrible. Now they play the Spurs off the second leg of a back-to-back. It's very hard not to like the Knicks with the way that they've been playing. Give the Knicks credit. They've been taking advantage of their favorable schedule, Aaron.
Yeah, the Knicks are 10-8 against the spread when playing away. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to give you our Hero of the Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time for the Early Line's Hero of the Night.
That's right. It is time for our Hero of the Night. There were actually a lot of worthy candidates last night for Hero of the Night. I said it earlier. Could have been Terrence Ross of the Orlando Magic, helping the Magic cover that 7-point spread against the Mavs. It could have been Jamal Murray, had to step up to the line, sink a couple of free throws with just 2 seconds left to cover a 4.5-point spread. He did exactly that, getting the cover home for the Denver Nuggets. But when I have the opportunity to make it personal, when I have that opportunity, I can't pass it up, because I had a personal hero of the night last night. And that is DeJounte Murray of the San Antonio Spurs, because you better believe I had bet the over in a Brooklyn Nets games. I incredibly have lost 2 straight Brooklyn Nets overs. I took a little bit of a break from their totals. I said, let's hop back in. The Spurs, they can score it a little bit. And that didn't look very good at the end of the first quarter. I mean, there were only 48 points scored. Second quarter was better, but it became abundantly clear that the only way this thing was going to happen is if we somehow got to overtime. And with 2 minutes left in this game, it was a double-digit lead for the Nets. Lonnie Walker hits a 3. All right. Patty Mills hits a 3. Well, hold on a second. It's 108-104. DeMar DeRozan makes a layup. Eyeballs, eyeballs, eyeballs. Next thing you know, they get a stop. Kyrie takes a pretty silly shot. There was no reason for him to even shoot the basketball. DeJounte Murray grabs the rebound with 5 seconds left. He dribbles up the court, falls over because James Harden knocked into him. No foul call, no problem. Picks it up, 21-footer, 108 apiece. We go to overtime. That's where we cash the over, Aaron. DeJounte Murray, hero of the night.
We love when we can cash those overs. All right, guys, coming up next, we're going to talk about some more NBA. We're going to get into college hoops and more. Stay with us here on the Early Line.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.